The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Wright, a very good morning. How are you?
Booker Tov Howard, what makes you think that grounding kids is a punishment these days?
Well, no, maybe you can ground them and take their cell phone away.
And what makes you think you can ground them anyway? Who has the right to ground anybody? You know, this is a different world, Howard. We're not in this world, you know. Grounding means, you know, more time on social media, probably.
Absolutely right. It's just, I don't know how to parent anymore. Anthony, what are we meant to do?
Well, the good news for you, Howard, is that you only have to think about your grandchildren now. You've done your job, right?
Well, I've still got two kids at school, but yeah, they're getting older, and you know what? I'm thinking of letting them, you know, fly the nest or something. All right, let's talk about the diplomatic crisis in Poland. A lot less complicated. That's deepened with further comments being made by the acting minister of foreign affairs, Israel Katz. What are the latest developments now?
Well, I mean, as we spoke yesterday, we know that Prime Minister Netanyahu had made this comment while in Poland about the Poles being complicit with the Nazis during the Holocaust period, during the Shoah period, and that really annoyed the Poles. And this really comes against the backdrop of that law that Poland had passed and then has since rescinded, but the law that was passed, which actually forbade anybody to refer to Poland as having been complicit with the Nazis during the Shoah period. And Israel felt that that was really an attempt to try to deny Poland's involvement in the Shoah and in acts against Jews during the Shoah, and even deny acts of anti-Semitism at all. That really seemed a little strange. And so when the acting foreign minister, Israel Katz, was interviewed for TV and radio, mm-hmm. he really put his foot even further into it. And he actually quoted late former Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir when he spoke about the fact that the Poles sucked anti-Semitism with their mother's milk. This was a comment that late Yitzhak Shamir had made because, of course, his father was killed during the Shoah by the Poles. And so he had really a point to come from. He had really a position to take on this matter, as indeed does Yisrael Katz, who has parents who are also survivors. And herein lies the issue now, because, of course, the Polish Jewish community has weighed in, with the chief rabbi of Poland saying that those comments have offended Polish Jews. So this is the way that I kind of summarize the situation. When the Poles attempt to somehow deny their involvement in the Shoah, Israel said, you can't do that, because while we don't necessarily hold the Polish government, and not the current Polish government, responsible for acts that were committed against Jews during the period of the Shoah, one cannot deny what really took place on the ground. And we as descendants of survivors, and we as those Jews who represent those who suffered during the period of the Shoah, cannot see ourselves in a position where we're saying everything was okay. Mm-hmm. It wasn't okay. There were individual Poles who cooperated with the Nazis. There are numerous stories of survivors, people who ran away from Poland, people who were in the Warsaw Ghetto, who have evidence of the fact that Poles were complicit with the Nazis in their own private capacity as groups. And, you know, one could also even go as far as saying that at a national level, there was some support given, albeit tacit support, allowing Poles to behave in this way. So this is what the Israeli government's position is. And, you know, there's more than enough support for this. Having said all of that, of course, the Polish government are now very, very offended by all of this. And we get the Polish Jews weighing in, saying, we're also offended by it. So now we've got almost a situation where Jews are opposing Jews on this matter, where Polish Jews are saying, our position in Poland is potentially under threat because of these statements by the Israeli government. So this is a classic case of diaspora Jews saying what you, the Israeli government, are saying in order to defend things that happened many years ago is now making our existence in this country at this time very, very uncomfortable indeed. Here's where I want to talk to you guys, to the listeners out there, people who are living in the diaspora, to say, What do you think about this? I mean, do we simply just gloss over the involvement of the Polish people during the Shoah and say, you know, whatever you're saying right now is okay in the interest of trying to make life more easier for those Jews living in Poland today? Or do we want to protect the memory and the experiences of those people who suffered in Poland during the period of the Shoah, saying, guys, what happened then was not okay, and we are not going to say it was okay simply because that's what you want us to say, because you want to somehow try to deny Polish involvement during the Shoah. Mm. Where does this take us exactly?
Although, Anthony, that said, there is a massive difference between saying, you know, many, many Poles or a certain number or the majority, no matter what it is historically, of the Poles were complicit in the Shoah. It's very different to say that and to evoke an image of every Pole suckling anti-Semitism through their mother's breast milk. You know, I think there's a very, very big difference, because one of them is, you know, one you can argue and you've got ground to say facts are facts, and it's important that we don't engage in revisionist history, and we need to talk about things just the way they were and not how we want them to be. The facts are that a tremendous amount of the Poles were complicit in anti-Semitism and in the Holocaust. That is still different to the emotive images of a Polish child absorbing or swallowing anti-Semitism through their mother's milk.
I agree that the image that Yitzhak Shamir came up with back in 1989, and of course, again, let's not forget that he was the orphan of someone who was killed at the hands of the Poles during the Shoah, and, you know, so therefore, I would never criticize him for anything that he said, because he could see what the reality was on the ground. But I think that what that image was supposed to project was the fact that the anti-Semitism that Poles felt at that time wasn't necessarily something that was government instigated, but it was something that was handed down from generation to generation. People grew up with this feeling of anti-Semitism. Jews who lived in Warsaw at the time, in the Warsaw Ghetto, other parts of Poland, felt real fear when they walked in the streets of Poland, because they knew that the people around them were anti-Semitic from the home. They didn't have to have government laws to, you know, it came from the home and it came from somewhere. And that was really where this imagery was evoked by Yitzhak Shamir at the time. And Yisrael Katz, as I say, who comes from parents who are survivors, also didn't want to gloss over this, because he also has come from a position. He's also someone who comes from a history, and this has been handed down to him. And he, as the child of survivors, will obviously also have things that he's had to experience in his life as a result of this. So the question is, how careful do we want to be here? How much do we really want to step on eggshells by denying or glossing over, or perhaps just making it look a little bit better than it really was? Do we want to say it as it is? Or do we want to just say, look, you know, we've got past it now, and we're not going to evoke these images anymore in the interest of trying to maintain cordial relations? Because on the other hand, we get the Polish government who are trying to deny it completely, and that's also not okay for us. So where is the middle ground here?
Yeah, interesting. A couple of messages from listeners. Ansan says, you would not have that opinion about the Poles if your parents were from there. And then saying, you are naive when it comes to Eastern Europe. All right. I'm not sure how you can establish whether if I am or not, but that's your view. That's cool. And Lensel Pencil says, if you read Poland by James Michener, you would see that historically, over many centuries, anti-Semitism has always been rife in Poland. I agree with Shamir. It is in the genes. Ansan says, the same Ansan as who maintains my naivety, says, we have been butchered there for centuries. I'm not sure that I ever said that that wasn't the case. I just said that there's a difference between how you speak about it with regard to fact and when you create images like that, especially from a government official, when you still want a decent relationship with the country. That was my point.
And I think, by the way, that this also goes very much to the relationship with Germany, of course, which is central in the whole Holocaust era memory and how we deal with it. Because You know, there are a lot of people who still hold very, very extreme anti-German views as a result of the results of what happened during the Shoah. What we're finding with the Germans, as a general rule, at the government level at least, is that there's been no attempt to try to gloss over it or to deny what happened, at least for the current, you know, German generation. And so therefore, these kind of standoffs don't happen with Germany in a surprising way. It's happening with Poland because of the fact that the government has now tried to say, listen, it's illegal to even invoke the fact that the Poles were involved in the Shoah. That was their position, you know, when they passed this law. The Germans don't do that, but even though there's still a lot of sensitivity surrounding the relationship with Germany and many Jews who still won't go to Germany and who won't buy German goods and services and products and things like that, there are still those people who, and there are others who are quite happy to go to Germany and even live there. Many Israelis actually have gone to study and live and work there, and they find that that's okay. So we also have this difference in our personality, in our Jewish personality, about how we respond to the things that happened 70, 80 years ago. And I think it's a real discussion point for us. And, you know, the question is whether the Israeli government have done the right thing now by effectively torpedoing this Visegrad conference that was due to have taken place today, because the Polish have decided that they're not sending any representation at all arising from those comments by Yisrael Katz yesterday. And so only 3 out of the 4 countries who are due to have attended the Visegrad conference will be actually have already arrived, being the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Hungary. And so there will be bilateral meetings, the government has announced, between the prime ministers of those 3 countries and Prime Minister Netanyahu, and they will have a joint lunch together. But it's no longer being labeled as a Visegrad conference because Poland is not being represented.
Wow, absolutely fascinating, and it will be interesting to see where, of course, this goes. Moving on to another story, and a really great story, the level of both of the Kinneret is expected to rise above the lower red line in the next few days after good rainfall and snowfall in recent weeks. What does this mean for Israel's water resources?
Well, it means that we are still not where we want to be. And even though the Kinneret is being used as a barometer for Israel's water levels, of course, we now know that a lot of Israel's water doesn't really come from the Kinneret anymore, thankfully, because if we had to rely on the Kinneret, it would be a very dry joke indeed. But fortunately, we have desalination, and we also have, of course, the aquifers where we draw water from in order to satisfy Israel's very, very deep thirst for water. But the situation of the Kinneret has improved a great deal, with the level of the Kinneret having risen almost 1.5 meters, 1.4 meters, since the beginning of the rainy season, and it only has another 23 centimeters to go until we reach the bottom red line, the lower red line, out of the 2 red lines that have been set at the Kinneret. And what the lower red line means is that once the level goes beyond that, above the lower red line, there will no longer be government restrictions on pumping water from the Kinneret. And that's a significant difference that we haven't experienced over the last 2 years, where the water levels have not risen above the lower red line over a period of 2 years, which is very, very serious indeed. But we're expecting that to happen fairly soon, and more rain is expected. Let's not, however, rejoice too much, because we are still something like 4.5 meters below the level where the Kinneret can be regarded as full capacity, filled up to the top, 4.5 meters. So we've already had 1.5 meters this winter, and it is expected that we might have a little more rain between now and the end of the winter, but not, certainly not 4.5 meters, and probably not even another, you know, another 0.5 meter, I'm guessing. I think that would be probably too much to expect. But at least, you know, there is a positive sign that things have improved relative to the situation over the past couple of years. And we'll hope that there's still more rain and a little bit more snow that will ultimately melt, run into the Kinneret, and improve our water resources. So this is a good sign, but certainly not a moment to rejoice too much.
Certainly. And that's where we leave it. Anthony Reich talking to us from Israel, bringing us all the latest from the region.